personally, I wonder if hell isn't far worse than fire. But God knows that man understands what fire is. Most here have heard me tell the story that time's up, but tell the story that Art Davies, that's my son-in-law, got in an engineering magazine. I think most here may have heard it. The Russians in Siberia were drilling a hole through the core of the earth, through the crust of the earth. I can't remember how many feet they went down before all of a sudden it went through and there was nothing there. Just a drop. They pulled it back and they put a mic down there. And just to insert something else along the way, I most know that I'm in construction, or I was in construction. I knew a lot of men that did deep drilling. And they'll all tell you the same thing. The farther you go down, the deep, hotter it gets. Anyway, they put this mic down. And what they heard, they couldn't believe. They thought there was something wrong with the mic. They brought it back up and they put a mic down that they knew was good. You know what they thought they heard? The screams of millions. Literal screams. The Russian officials paid all of those engineers, along with their own, they had Swedes and Norwegians. They were all paid six-figure money to keep their mouths shut.
And uniting work of the Holy Spirit and the applying work of the Holy Spirit of the words of yours, the Word of God, to our hearts, to give us another step in our growth to be what you want us to be. We thank you for saints of God who love the Word of God and the God of the Word, and we thank you for your moving upon our hearts in these moments for the glorifying of the Lord Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen. God said, let us make man in our own image. Brother Schofield has made a suggestion, and I think when we studied the creation of the heaven and earth in Genesis chapter 1, that I think I touched on these things as we moved along very quickly over the creation of man. What does it mean when God's Word says that man was created in the image of God? Let's talk about that for just a moment. Man was created in the image of God. Now, Schofield has made one suggestion. There are others. But this one we're going to give some thought to. Man is a triune being. I believe the illustration I used before, which with your permission I'd like to use again, I have not found a better one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God, three persons. I do not fully understand. I don't even begin to understand. But that is the fact. That's the truth in the Word of God. Man is also a triune being. We have a body. We have a soul. We have a spirit. I believe the illustration I used was a tree has a body, no soul, no spirit. An animal as a body and a soul, no spirit. A man has a body and a soul and a spirit. He is a triune being. But I want to be sure, this is my opinion, I want to be sure we understand that since the fall, that spirit must be enlivened or else we are dead in the trespasses and sins. Would you agree with that? Yes, I am a triune being, but since the fall, my spirit must be enlivened, and the Lord Jesus shared that with Nicodemus. You got to be born again, one more time, all over again, born from above, born anew, by the water, that is the Word of God, and the Spirit. God has to breathe in us a brand new life. in order to enliven the spirit. Then the spirit has the ability. That's not the word I want. Ability may be all right. Of communion with God. You see, an unsaved person has no ability of communion with God. No capability, probably, is a better word, of communion with God. It sounds rather harsh to say this, but it's the truth. Many unsaved people say that they pray, but they have a dead spirit. That spirit does not have the capability of communion with God. You see what I mean? Again, it sounds rather harsh, and liberal theologians would really come down on us hard if they heard us say that. But you know something? They need to hear us say that. You know why? Because it's the truth. So, then, man a triune being is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Man has a body, a spirit, and a soul. God said, let us make man in our image. Our image. Our image. Now, you see, in the advertising business, image is something that is extremely important. Huge money is paid to big corporations who are in the business of presenting images. What you see about any given politician is the image he wants you to see. Movie stars, TV personalities, they hire people to construct them a persona that they are selling you. What you see ain't what you get. That's kind of besmirching the word image because it's a beautiful, beautiful word. They not only put the image on individuals, but on corporations and on situations. You can believe me, when something goes wrong in the White House, there is the current N word is spin. You can believe me, they put their own spin on it so that it sounds so nice to you. They did something great. Not at all. That's what they want you to believe. See, that's image. See, that's wrong. They've messed up a very good word that we see here in the Word of God. Image, 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 image. I was going through some things recently, you know, old stuff I want to throw away, and for some reason it's tough to throw away old stuff. But I found that's the grocery list from last Thursday. I don't need that. Yes, Nations Bank. There's a logo. There's an image, you see. They wanted you to see Nations Bank, and it's so nice blue and red and on a white background that has never been used, by the way. That's their logo. That's their image. Before that, there was Nations Bank. There was Sovereign. Before that, there was... Does anybody remember what the original was? No, Harry. You're old enough. You're old enough to know better. Who was this? What do you know about it? Yes, it was First and Merchants. First and Merchants National Bank. Now, First and Merchants National Bank, big, probably I think the biggest, prestigious, and they wanted to project that. So sometime middle to late 60s, First and Merchants hired one of these high-powered public relations companies in New York to create them a logo. Okay? It cost them... For the total package, about $150,000. And that's back in 1969, 68, 67, 66 money. All right. Now, you may remember that was square-looking logo, and all the employees wore that thing. And Al Dodge at the Bank of Virginia said, you know what it looks like? This looks like two telephones put together. And it did. They paid $150,000 for that thing. And they also had a musical version of the logo that went bum, 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 bum. Yeah, that went $25,000 right there. See, it was a French horn. Bum, 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 bum. You hear that, you were supposed to think of those two telephones put together, which was their logo. Well, I don't know whether they got the money out of that or not. You know why? It wasn't very long till they merged with Virginia National Bank and it became Sovereign. There's gazillions of dollars spent to promote Sovereign and that new logo. New PR. What a great company we are.
I hope they got the money's worth. You know why? It wasn't long till some outfit in North Carolina bought the whole kit and caboodle and called it Nations Bank. Nations Bank. Expensive logos, advertising, images put across by the spin doctors. I hope they got the money's worth. You know why? An outfit in California bought the whole kit and caboodle and called it Bank of America. New images, see? Now we got to have our spin doctors working on this, putting this across. You know, the spin doctors that are really at work these days, Ford and Firestone. I mean, you're talking about big PR money to put across to what great guys these are. And when Exxon fouled the waters up there with all this goo that killed everyone out in that, you never saw so much smooth PR advertising and what a great company we are and how we're keeping the waters safe for America. See, that was calculated to kind of hypnotize you to make you see what nice guys these are. I object to that. It's okay, but they have crossed the line because image, you see, is something that is very, very important. God has an image. Did you know that? Let's turn to John chapter 1. I want to show you something. Remember, man was created in the image of God. Keep that thought now. Don't let me kind of drift away on you guys. Get me back on the track. In the beginning was the image, the logo. And the image, the logo, was with God, and the image, or the logo, logos, was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So this is a powerful image. This is what is put forth from God as the express image of what God wants to express to us. Man created the image of God, and the image of God, the logo for God, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Something else about that image I think we should see. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. The image, this is the logo now He's putting forth, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. By the way, He just so happens that He created the worlds. Oh, by the way, creation is a result of the image or the logo of God. Who being the brightness of His glory, and, see these words, express image of His person. Oh, and by the way, it just so happens that He not only created the heavens and the earth, He upholds all things by His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. God, you see, verse 1, God not only speaks through His image, the logo. By the way, He created the heavens and the earth. And oh, yes, He holds them up. But He's the express image of His person. Now, this afternoon, I thought I was on to something. As I told you, I bought myself a Septuagint a year or so ago. And I feel like a kid with a brand new toy. It is a very valuable study resource. It is the Greek version of the Old Testament translated hundreds of years ago, so that these Greeks scattered all over the world at that time could read the Bible in the language which they understood, not Hebrew, but Greek. And it's so interesting to see the words that are chosen, the Greek words that are chosen to translate those Hebrew words. So I said, image, I got something. I just know it's the same word. I was wrong. Not the same word at all. You see, man created in the image of God, the word they selected means effigy. It's effigy. An effigy is formed. Don't forget that word formed. You won't let me forget formed, will you, Elizabeth? By the way, how are you doing, honey? That's great. That's great. Is there a discomfort there? Yeah. But you won't let me forget formed. You're going to remember formed. All right. Formed. So I flip around in my Septuagint and I look at that and I say, effigy, formed. But it says here the express image of his person. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not effigy. He wasn't formed. Different words. I was wrong. See, I thought I was onto something. I was going to tell you. Same word. It's not. Totally different. Man created the image of God. An effigy is formed. The express image. Let's see, how can we express that? One moment, please. I have all these visual aids, you see, credit cards and things of that sort. Now watch, at no time do my fingers leave my hands. Here is the image of George Washington. It so happens that he is on a 25-cent piece, which I just happen to have. George Washington. This came out of a mold. A die. This is the express image. This coin's the express image of that mold, that die. This is kind of the thought that's here. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is the best way I know how to say it, and God is trying to tell us something that's greatly, this great thought in terms that you and I can understand. They're the same. I say to you, they are the same. God is expressing his image. He is expressing his logo through this one who created the heavens and the earth, holds them up, and oh, by the way, he died for us. Could there have been any lesser sacrifice than that one who is the express image of God? Now, let's go back. Let's go back. Let's see. What were we? Here's something interesting. I just saw this a couple of days ago. It shows you how you can read the Bible for years and you can miss stuff. This is embarrassing because this is one of the things I love to do. I mean, if I have a forte, I mean, it's details. Details. Carry out the garbage. Don't forget to sweep out the garage. You know, details. I'm a detail person. But I missed that. Beloved, did you know how important it is that we were created in the image of God? I'll tell you how important it is. In just two short verses, God states that he created us three times. Not once, not twice, three times. Now, number three is significant. Let's count them. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Number two, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. Number three, in the image of God created he him. Three times. Three is the number of the resurrection, and I promise you, we're going to see the resurrection here. I promise you, we're going to see the resurrection. You won't let me forget. That's the second word, resurrection. We got formed and we got resurrection. You're not going to forget. Okay. Brother Grant says that this is the fullness of the Godhead. Three represents the fullness of the Godhead. I just don't see how that could be expressed any better in human terms than Brother Grant has expressed it. He uses the example of like the rectangle versus the cube. The cube has that extra dimension. The fullness of God is the fullness of his Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it's tough for us to even think beyond that. Don't think we can ever understand it. Certainly not with the limited brain spirit capacity that we have. God said, let us make man in our image. So there's the triune being God, the triune being man. Something else that I think is interesting here, too, that God doesn't let us get away from the fact that He is a triune being. Notice the language. Elohim, that God, that's Elohim. I looked it up this afternoon. It's gods. It's the plural word for God. Elohim, gods, Elohim. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. You see that? What's happening here? I don't know. I like to think it's God the Father conferring with God the Son, and God the Father and God the Son conferring with God the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know. Remember, there are no accidents in the Word of God. And I don't know the significance of this, but I think it's interesting that in verse 27, God created man in His. Not they created them in their likeness. God created man in His image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He, one person, them. Isn't that interesting? Don't know the significance. It's just there. That's something we have to pursue later, maybe. But isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? God said. Now, what was that first word? Formed. Oh, yes, thank you. You see, I would forget all that. He's been created in the image of God. And now I said, there's another extremely important word here. Verse 7 of chapter 2. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now that's not, see, there's not much dignity in being made of dust now, is it? See, he's already been created, now he's going to be formed. There's your effigy. I remember we were in grade school. We read something in one of the textbooks that just went all over the school like wildfire. I remember, and we used to talk about it, and we would speak to our parents with great knowledge of the chemical makeup of the body. The total worth of all the chemicals and minerals in the body, if sold on the market at that time, 97 cents. That's not worth very much, is it? But you see, if you stop there, you didn't complete the thought. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Have you ever thought of the miracle of just our breathing? Well, I've got to think now. I'm breathing in. Now I've got to think. I'm breathing out. No, I've got to think. Breathe in. I think. Breathe in. You don't have to do that. God, what is that term, CPR? They give, God gave us His divine CPR, and that set the wheels in motion. And it will stay with us for as long as He allows it. Not a moment longer. See, we think of the dust of the earth, and as G. Campbell Morgan says, every single element in man's body is to be found in the earth. And lest we think that that's not dignity, God, we have God breathed in us His very own breath, the breath of life. His very own breath. There's your miracle. There's your dignity. God formed man of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That's the picture. That's the picture. But there's something missing from the picture. Adam is the Lone Ranger. Something missing. And God sees that it's missing. Verse 18. The Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. Isn't that beautiful? God cared about Adam. God cared about us. And so He made a helpmeet. And now we will spend a few moments looking at the helpmate, because it's a beautiful picture. And I say to you, it's a beautiful picture of various things, including marriage and including us, the church, the helpmate of the Lord Jesus. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Brothers and sisters, you are now about to witness the very first surgical procedure ever performed. And so God takes Adam into his operating room and gives him anesthesia. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. I had some minor surgery a couple of years ago, as I may have mentioned to you, I don't know, a year or so back. And I'm there waiting to be taken into the big room, and so this guy comes in and says, "I'm doctor, whatever, whatever. He says, I'm going to give you anesthesia." And actually, as he talked, the purpose of his visit was to tell me how important he was. And after I got the bill, I knew why. You know, how important he was. But he said, "You know, when you're under anesthesia, you are as close as you can possibly be to death." I said, "Oh, thank you, doctor. That's very comforting." Here's the point. And a type, and a figure, and a picture, Adam is dead. As a matter of fact, if you get your Young's Concordance, or your Strong's Concordance, and look up that word, sleep, it's not used very much, but it's the very word that's used by the psalmist when he says, the sleep of death. Beloved, don't miss the point. Adam is dead. In the figure, he's dead. And now God performs the surgical procedure. And here, I don't think I'm wrong at all to say what I'm going to say. When God opened that side, there was the shedding of blood. I believe that with all my heart. It does not say it. But I believe that since all of the scripture supports the fact that Adam is a type of Christ, and Christ is the second Adam, or the last Adam, I guess is the way to say it, that when God opened that side, he bled. He took one of his ribs. He took one of his ribs. Now, we know there was other stuff coming out of there besides rib, because Adam later says, "Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." Now, please follow me. I've done a lot of thinking about this, and I don't think I'm adding one thing to it, but remember, Genesis is a lot of information packed in just a few words. God makes his incision, removes the rib, okay? Then that material is put aside. What I want you to see here is the passing of time in this operation. Material is put aside. Now we go back, and he closed up the flesh, sends him on to the recovery room. While Adam is in the recovery room and he's up la-di-da-ing around after he wakes up and so forth, God has his helpmate under construction. And after a passing of time, verse 22, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made he a woman and brought her to the man. Adam, may I present your bride?" What I want you to see, however, is the passing of time between the operation and the closing up of the wound and his side out of which was taken the material for the bride. God made him a helpmate, his bride. "Adam, meet your bride." Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother
and shall cleave unto his wife, and there shall be one flesh. Notice how God is teaching us something important here. This is bonus teaching that God has given us. This is a picture of marriage. A man to a woman. One man, one woman. I know things get terribly, terribly confused today. I sometimes go gaga when I see some of the things that are put forth as marriage, or how lightly it is taken. But then remember Noah, as it was in the days of Noah. There's marriage and there's giving in marriage or giving up marriage. Wife swatting all this. And guys, it's confusing. I don't understand it. But it need not be if we keep coming back to what it says. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Verse 25, they were both naked, man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Why? They were clothed with the glory of God. That was the original clothing. That's why. It was just absolutely beautiful. Well, now, what does it all mean? Isn't that a beautiful picture? That picture that we just saw projects a second picture, which we're now going to see.